And I am thankful. Today is Memorial Day Sunday. Tomorrow is the observed day, of course. I'm so thankful for the heritage that we have in this beautiful country. And I don't want to lose one bit of the freedoms and the things that we have, people before us have fought for. I'm just very aware and attuned to those freedoms and the beauty that we have in this country. And I'm really praying that God's hand of mercy will be upon this country. I want to say one more quick thing before I get started. You see this stack of books here. I can move because this is portable. As you know, we've been talking about, we've been talking about replacing our hymnals because hymns are very, very important. I'm just blown away. I was listening to one early this morning, "Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing." Oh, it's one of my favorites. It's beautiful. But anyway, our hymnals are probably almost 40 years old. They were purchased in the early 70s. And so I've been amassing quite a stack here, as you can see, of optional hymnals to purchase, to replace. And although these are all for piano, because they have spiral bounds, the ones for the pews would not. They would just be hard bound. So if you want to take a look at these, you're welcome to. You can take one or more. This one I probably would rule out. It has the least of songs that we would want to sing, I think, unless it were a supplemental book, then we might consider that. But anyway, take a look. This one, it's just called Church Hymnal, but it's known as the Red Back Book. And I wonder if any of you recognize the Red Back Book. No? It's the most popular hymnal in all of church history, really, it is. All churches, all kinds of churches have used the Red Back Book. So you can take a look at those and see what you think. Today we're going to look at a beautiful passage of Scripture, and I'm going to call this message The Wedding Day. I'm not sure that this is the right title for the message, and if you can come up with a better one afterwards, after you've heard it, let me know and I'll be glad to change it. I'm not going to read the text until the very end, which is a little bit odd maybe, but I think you might understand as we go through it why. And I also want to preface this by saying I do not stand here as an end time expert by any stretch of the word. However, I do think that what I'm going to be talking about today is the viewpoint held by most mainstream churches and leadership today, and that is that the righteous dead and the church of God will be raptured before the tribulation and the onset of the Antichrist. We have taught this and been taught this for many, many years, and I think it is the only thing that is consistent with the whole of Scripture. We know we cannot just take little bits here and there, but it is a whole plan of God. And I think this is what's consistent with the plan of God. And I also think it's consistent with logic and with logistics. It all plays a part together. I also think that some things just don't matter. In today's vernacular, we may say they are non-essential. I'm tired of that word, actually, yeah. Non-essential. But one thing is essential, and that is that we are ready when our time, when the Lord says, "I'm coming to get my bride," that we are ready. That's essential. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would anoint this message. Anoint me, Lord, to speak it, that we may understand, Lord, what our responsibility is, what the urgency is, Lord, and give us the grace to change those things that are not within your plan. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 1:3 says, "Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand." In the first three chapters of the book of Revelation, Jesus deals first with the condition of the churches. And I'm going to be referring to each of the churches, the seven churches that Jesus spoke directly to. He gave them some very specific information. He told them what to do to be prepared, and he told them what his reward will be once they do those things. You know, I've read this passage of Scripture many times. This was one of Jim's very favorite passages of the Bible. And I never really realized, because I didn't compare them before, that Jesus spoke these words himself. If you look in your Bible, I'm sure there are red letters in the in what Jesus said to the churches, at least it is in mine, and that he gave each of them a particular duty and reward. For those of us who have worked in a corporate setting at all, if you ever get called into the boss's office, probably three things will be talked about. One, first they'll give you a commendation. You've done a great job doing this. Then you get the correction plan. But we need to work on this. And then you get the reward. And that's exactly the way that Jesus laid these instructions out to the churches. And we're going to start with the church of Ephesus. We'll go in order. Jesus tells John to write, "I see all your good works, your steadfastness, your love, your patience, and I know that you tried the prophets and found that they were false. And you hate evil just like I do." These are paraphrased, of course. But there's this one thing. You've left your first love. Go back to where you started and repent. Jesus told almost every church to repent. Otherwise, you'll be caught unaware because I'm coming quickly. Jesus instructed them how to correct themselves. What to do to correct themselves? Go back, repent, very specific. And the reward that he told them that he would give them is to eat of the tree of life in paradise. That's the Church of Ephesus' reward, to eat of the tree of life in paradise. Then number two, the Church of Smyrna. Jesus said, "I see your great works. I know the tribulation you've endured at the hands of the Jews, and it's going to get worse for a short period, but be faithful even to the death." Jesus didn't remove them out of the persecution, but he told them to be faithful in it, even to the death. And he promised them that he is faithful, and therefore they will live again, and that the reward for their faithfulness will be a crown of life. The Church of Pergamos, Jesus said, "I know where you are. I see your works, and even though you live in the very seat of Satan," Pergamos had built in the middle of the temple, a giant temple to Dionysus, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, the son of Zeus, idol worship. And there in that temple conducted gross immorality. He said, "Even though you live in the middle of this evil place, you've not denied my name. Even in the face of my faithful martyr, Antipas, you didn't deny my name. Right here where Satan lives, and you were faithful. But there's still some things you need to work on. You allowed the false doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak, to cast a stumbling block into the children of Israel. And of course, we know God would not permit that, or wouldn't tolerate that. And you allowed the things that were sacrificed to idols to be eaten. You accepted the false doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which thing I hate. I looked this up because I was interested to know specifically which things God hates. And he said, and I found, that the Nicolaitans had completely thrown out the laws of God. They set up communal wives for the community to share. And they taught that the very things that God said were sin were not. Very similar to the doctrines of Balak and Jezebel, which we'll talk about in a minute. So Jesus admonished the church of Pergamos to purge themselves of these false doctrines and stay pure in order to overcome the evil that was surrounding them in Pergamos. And for their reward, Jesus promised, I will give you to eat of the hidden manna and a white stone signifying pardon. There was a black stone and a white stone, and if you got the black stone, but if you got the white stone, you were pardoned. And Jesus said, I will give you hidden manna, of him, of course, signifying the pardon, the white stone signifying the pardon. And on the stone would be written a name which no man would know except he who received it. To the church of Thyatira, Jesus said, with my own eyes, which are like a flame of fire, and my feet, which are like black brass, I know your works. I've seen your love and your charity and your faithful service and your patience, and you're getting stronger all the time. But nevertheless, I have a few things against you. You allowed that woman Jezebel, which calls herself a prophetess, but she is not, to teach false doctrine and to seduce my servants and to eat things sacrificed to idols. This was a real woman in the church of Thyatira, and her name was Jezebel. She's not the same woman who was married to King Ahab in 1 Kings, same name, different person. Jesus said, I gave her time to repent, but she would not. So he said, I passed judgment on her, and I put great tribulation on her in her bed and the death of her children. Jesus said, all the churches are going to know that I search the reins and the heart, and that I give rewards according to each one's deeds. But to all the others in the church of Thyatira, Jesus said, there are those who have not known the depth of Satan, like this woman, and to them I will add no burden. But see that you hold fast that which you already have, and keep my works to the end. My works, keep working to the end. And as a reward, I will give you the power over the nations and the morning star. Oh, Christ himself. This shows that Jesus shows each one of us individually responsible for our deeds and not the whole. 5, the church of Sardis. Jesus said again, I know your works, and you have a living name, but you're dead. You wake up, be watchful, and strengthen those things that remain, the things that are about to die, because I've not found your works perfect before God. Remember what you've been given and hold it fast. Repent, for if you do not, I come quickly as a thief in the night, and you will not be ready. Jesus said to Sardis, but there are a few among you who have not defiled their garments, and they will be rewarded because they are worthy. For these who overcome will walk with me in white garments, and his name will not be blotted out of the book of life, and I will confess his name before the Father. What a reward. To the church of Philadelphia, Jesus said, I know your works. You only have a little bit of strength left. I gave you an open door which no man can shut, and you have kept my word and not denied my name. I will expose all liars and make those Jews who lie to come and worship at your feet, so they will know I have loved you. Jesus told Philadelphia, I will keep you from the hour of temptation. Hold fast what you have, and I will make you a pillar in the temple of God that will remain forever, and I will write my name upon you. And finally, to the church at Laodicea, Jesus said, I know your works. You're not hot nor cold, and I'm going to spit you out because I hate lukewarmness. You say you're rich and you have need of nothing, but you don't even know how depraved you are. Jesus called them wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. But I counsel thee to buy gold of me tried in the fire. Then you will be rich, and a white raiment to cover your shame and nakedness, and anoint your eyes with eye salve that you can see. Buy it of me, he said. And then Jesus said these beautiful words. In all of this guidance that he's given the churches, the correction, he said, as many as I love, I rebuke and chasten, but be quick to repent. I believe that if there's ever a verse that would support the fact that it's possible for a Christian to backslide and become out of the fold of God, this is it. Jesus said, because even now, I'm standing at the door, knocking to come in. It's me. It's Jesus. It's your Redeemer. Let me in, he's telling these churches. If you will repent, I will come in and we will have fellowship together. And I will grant you to sit on my throne because I also am an overcomer. And you know that at the end of each one of these admonitions to the church, he says, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. Folks, I'm convinced today that Jesus is standing at the church door in many, many churches in America today, knocking to get in, trying to identify himself to them. As I said, it's me, your Redeemer. Don't you recognize who I am? Open the door and let me come in. And the whole reason Jesus said these words is because he wants us for his bride. He wants to marry us. But there are things that we must do to be ready. And Jesus says, do them now. Repent, because I'm coming very, very soon. I believe these messages are positives because Jesus loves us so much. He said, it's those that I love will I rebuke and chasten. And it's why he wrote these words to each one of the churches that bore his name. He saw their works. He knew they were busy. He knew that they were doing some good things, but they had let their guard down and let sin come in. And they were going through the motions. No heart involved in their worship and their works. And some had just fallen asleep on the job. Paul wrote these words in 2 Corinthians 11:2. For I am jealous for you with godly jealousy, for I have betrothed you to one husband, that I may present you a chaste virgin to Christ. And Matthew 22 tells us about the 10 virgins. Five of them were ready and five of them were not. We need the oil in our lamps right now. Don, would you get the song queued up for me? We have to be ready. We have to have all of these issues nailed to the cross and be pure and holy and found watching and waiting to put him first in all things, to give him the preeminence in prayer, in worship, and in deed. You know, we've read the end of the book. We know how it ends. But here Jesus gives us the reason, and this is my text, for what he told the churches today. On Tuesday morning, the Lord woke me up very early with this scripture just resounding in my heart. Revelation 22, 16 and 17. And I, Jesus, have sent my angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I'm the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star, and the Spirit and the bride. Notice the Spirit is a capital S. The Holy Spirit and the bride, that's us, says, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him that's thirsty come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely, for he's coming soon. The bride has to be prepared, adorned, bejeweled, dressed in white garments, for nothing else is worthy of a bridegroom who is the bright and morning star. Would you play the song? We're going to play a quick song for you, and then I'm going to close.
Wedding day.
I thought that was so beautiful. It's real. We've all invested our lives. We know it's real because we know him. In closing, I ask the Lord, what would you say to Calvary Temple? What would be your message to us? What would be our correction and our reward? I think Jesus would say to us, as he did to several of the churches, hold fast what you've been given. It is true and it is real. Keep the faith once delivered to the saints. Don't lose hope in well-doing. So what are those things that we've been given? I believe with my whole heart, the purity of the doctrine that we believe and that we teach, we've been given from God. The absoluteness of the Word of God, the sovereignty and the majesty of God, the reverence of his presence. How beautiful is his presence. The operation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit in our worship, in our services, and at home, of course. The love and the unity of our body. The provision and the security that we have in him. These things he's given us to hold, to cherish, to love. What would be our correction? Reach out to others more because the days are short. Let go of man-made doctrines that don't mean anything. Ideas and methods, they're not essential. Repent, return, and revive. Continually fill your lamps so that we're perpetually ready. And what would be our reward? As I said a few weeks ago, revival comes only after repentance. Increased power of God working among us. Answers to prayer like we've never seen before. Our lives aligned with his word and his kingdom. Our ear attentive to his call and his admonition to the church. Let's stand in his presence today. Just pray in your own way. A prayer of repentance today. I'm not suggesting that anyone is living in gross sin. That's not my point. But it's those areas of the heart that the Holy Spirit wants to pierce, that we don't let go of, that we hold on to. Let him have them. Just repent and let it go, and let him reward us. Lord, we repent of coldness today. We repent of dumb, stubborn ideas, of lethargy, of letting everything and everybody have first place over you, Lord. Permissiveness that may have resulted in even the tiniest shred of sin to make its way into our heart and our churches. That may have grown and festered into something that's displeasing to God. Purge us with your fire, Lord, and fill us with your oil of anointing. Because you said you love us and you chasten and rebuke those that you love. We accept your chastening today, Lord, because you've given us great promise. Help us to walk in submission always, to worship with our whole heart, to witness with urgency, to work fervently and watch expectantly. Lord, quicken our ears. We are listening, and we hear the Spirit just about to say to Calvary Temple, I'm coming to get my bride. Today may be the wedding day, and we need to be ready. Don those robes of white, Lord, on us, adorn us, make us ready. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen. Hallelujah. I felt this in my heart. I really did. I know that there's a lot going on to be concerned about. But the main thing that we have to be concerned about is our heart. Is it right with God? Are we doing and saying and walking the way that He would have us to walk as an individual, as a church? I pray that we are, and I know that you've said those words today, Lord, I repent. I'm sorry for those things that I may have done or said or not done or said that was not pleasing in your sight. Repent and return. Those were the words. Repent and return. And then we get the reward. And I'm expecting that reward will be revival. Yes. I'm expecting it with all my heart. In Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for being here, and you may be dismissed.